Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh, what's up, all you beautiful people? I just like breathing into the mic. It's annoying when I breathe into the mic this much, probably is. Hey, listen, I'm sitting by myself at the moment in the studio. Very excited because Francis is not here today. He's in the countryside. He's in Pusey Lane, being a bit Pusey-fusey, floofy. I think I've gone mad after this little episode, but I'm really excited today for the episode because I had one of my best friends in the world on. And I love it. I speak to him most days, like pretty much every day. I see him every week, but it's always exciting when we get to hang out together because we make some TV or podcasting or whatever gold. Basically, what I'm saying is we're comedy gold. That's what I think. Mr. Spencer Matthews. Yes, the guy from Made in Chelsea, the guy who won The Jump, the guy who was briefly on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, the guy who came second in MasterChef, the guy who you can see on covers of like Heat Torso of the Week, the guy who, I just keep going on, don't I? But he's here. He's also a new father. He is on the best form I have seen him or been with him for. I mean, he's just incredible. I'm so proud of him. He's in such high spirits. We had the funniest chat in the world. We chat about what a sociopath is or a psychopath. We chat about fatherhood. We chatted about Harrods and prank calling them. We chat about so many different things. It's a really wicked episode. I'm super happy with it. So go and enjoy. Yeah, it's great. And let me know what you think. Remember to Instagram us or tweet us at Private Podcast or send us an email. The email is contact@privatepartspodcast.com. We want to hear all your thoughts and leave us a comment, 5-star review, and just write something nice because we love you. All right, here it is. Spencer Matthews, enjoy.
Heaviest microphone in the world.
What do you mean it's the heaviest microphone in the world?
It's the heaviest microphone in the world.
It's his microphone.
It's about 10 kilos, mate.
Look at me, I go to the gym.
I should know because I practically reside in the gym.
You don't reside in the gym.
Mate, I've been boxing a lot recently, obviously. With your fighting as well
tomorrow. Yeah, we're going to talk about this, mate. Yeah. You can't just jump ahead. I can't even sit properly in this fucking chair.
I'm pretty sure that I'm giving this interview.
No, it's not an interview, it's a
Jamie
chat.
Jamie Lang, how is life?
No, you don't ask me the question.
This is a trial, mate. I've just been chatting to your producers and I said, I'm going to take this show over because the two of you are rubbish. And
Do you think if we started a podcast, it would be a good one?
I think it would be better than the one you have with Francis, yeah.
You think so?
Well, that's just standard.
Just because it's me and you, because of our like relationship or because of your banter?
No, I'm more popular, so.
Popular with?
Everyone.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hello everyone, welcome to Private Parts Podcast. So this is where we read the most intimate and sordid... What? What? This is where we read the most intimate and sordid details of our lives. Hey, join me today as my buddy, my homeboy, one of my best friends in the entire world. Spencer Matthews. Sorry, that was me vibrating as I said that.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Good to be back.
Do you know when you go on these podcasts, you're not meant to like go, hello, everybody. You're meant to talk to the individual. It's like there's an individual person there. So you're meant to go, hey, how is your day?
Oh, it just seems weird that we're kind of leaning over in these kind of very trendy chairs.
Well, do you want to sit more? I'm going to sit more on the floor. That's what. Do you want to sit more on that? I can take my shoes off.
Also, I talk to you so often that I kind of, this feels...
Oh, that's way better. Like, there we go. Look, put it down here.
What about now?
We've just moved to the floor.
Okay, good, good. Yeah.
Can we all just establish something? So, ladies and gentlemen, hey, first, I just want to say a big hey, thank you to coming back to the podcast. Spenny's episode was one of our favourite ones we ever had. So I thought, you know what? He needs the listeners. He needs the views. He's kind of off TV, you know, at the moment.
Not for long.
So I thought I'd bring him back on because our episode, man, did super well. And, you know, people that I meet in the street, all right, I'm not kidding, the people that I meet in the street go, oh, my God, man, I love the podcast.
Is this in America?
They're all American. They're all American who like the podcast.
Okay, well, that's good.
And they're like, hey, man, oh, my God, I fucking love your podcast. I'm like, thanks, dude. And then I become American.
And do Americans live in Elephant and Castle? That's strange, isn't it? I would have thought that...
But every single one says to me, oh, my God, I love the Spencer Matthews episode.
Well, yeah, standard, really.
It's not standard.
Is it not? Okay.
I don't know if it's standard.
No, but you know what? I always have fun chatting to you because you're a naturally gifted conversationalist.
But so are you.
Well, thank you.
I was just giving it back.
That's the only reason I gave you a compliment was just to see if I got it back. But it's always good fun, mate, seeing you. And you know, if I can boost your numbers and do you a favour, then why not?
Do you know what I love the most about you? Okay, this, and we're going to get into so much today. But my favourite thing at the moment is that you hated Instagram and social media.
Yes.
Until about 3 days ago. Wow. When I get a call. Spenny and I call each other probably most days, right? We speak most days.
Absolutely.
I would say, yeah. And maybe more than once a day. And the calls I've been getting recently are, hey buddy, how you doing? What is your impressions on Instagram at the moment? What are your impressions? Because mine are like 15 million. What are yours? And you
19 million.
you know that mine aren't as much as that, because you've asked me 3 times now.
Yes. So, well, it's become a bit of a running joke actually in the Matthews household that you know you have less reach on Instagram, and you love Instagram, don't you? It's like Instagram, I'd go so far as to say that Instagram is your favorite thing.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Like I think Instagram is mindless. I'll use it.
But why? But why do you think it's mindless? Let's start there. Why do you think it's mindless?
I just think, okay, not mindless. I think if used properly, it's quite fun and can be quite fun. My eyes were closed to Instagram, to be honest, for some time due to the kind of overwhelming numbers
negative
of people.
Negative comments. Yeah. I'm
kidding. Overwhelming kind of amount of people that are just like, oh, hey, like, you know, I'm having jam on toast for breakfast. It's just like, why on earth would I care what you're eating for breakfast? Do you know what I mean? I just don't get it. Or like, oh, hey, I'm having a coffee. Or like, oh, a million of you have asked where my cap's from. It's from New York. No one's asking you where your cap's from. Not a single person has gone onto your page and said, where is your cap from? Not one. So why is it that everyone's like, oh, you know, like, I've got an overwhelming number of people asking me where my jacket's from. It's from Ralph Lauren. Like, no one cares. Not a single person cares. So I've taken to Instagram, like, almost ironically... and I play this kind of character almost who's terrified of the paparazzi, and it's I quite enjoy it. I basically can't go anywhere too famous. Everyone's papping me, and I'm getting really nice comments. Actually, I'm beginning to enjoy it.
You're beginning to enjoy it though, because you're getting the attention. That's why you like it.
It's no secret that I love attention.
You love attention more than anything, we had this conversation. We went to these awards the other day. Now, if no one's seen Hunted, which is a TV show that me and you did, where we were on the
run. That win a Grierson Award.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to go around with this psychopath. Also, are you a sociopath or psychopath?
I don't know. I'm one of the two for sure. Because
I think you're a sociopath, but not in a bad way.
But exactly. I don't think it's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
People identify, you know, darkness and stuff with certain words. And I personally you know, if I am one of those two things, so what? I'm delighted. Really happy. So is my family. You know, we're all you know, we're all happy. And guess what? Even my Instagram followers are happy.
Okay, I'm gonna before we go into more Instagram, I'm gonna check out the attributes.
Just before you do that, just have a very quick look at your impressions and your hang on, just go on to Instagram.
Okay, hold on. I'm doing this. We're gonna go back.
Because I've actually only just started doing stories 6 days ago, and I just want to see about, you know, traffic, mine versus yours.
You actually want to check out? Oh, is that your baby crying?
I've had to bring my son with me because we're just so busy that, you know,
go and have a quick look, see if it's your baby crying.
You might just need a dummy. 2 seconds.
Hold on.
He's just having a lovely little dream.
Oh, that's
just
cute.
Just murmuring in his sleep.
Hold on, before we get back into Instagram, I just want to go into this little sociopath thing. So these are the five traits that you can tell if you're a sociopath.
Okay.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yes. I swear.
The funny thing is, you're almost excited. Yeah. You're almost excited that you could be a sociopath.
That's because I don't think it's a bad thing. And also, you know, I think there should be more sociopaths.
There are a lot of all business owners are sociopaths.
I promise to be completely honest with you, because I'm not sure what a sociopath is, but go on.
Here are five things that sociopaths do. Okay, firstly, they're extremely charming.
Yes.
That is, sociopaths are almost always well-liked.
Thank you.
Yeah. They don't experience remorse.
Not at all.
So far,
all three of those things are good things.
Yes, but not experiencing remorse is probably not a good thing.
No, but the only reason I don't experience remorse is because it leads to kind of more... I don't experience remorse naturally, but that can only be a good thing.
But you don't experience remorse?
Experiencing remorse leads to stress and upset.
If you murdered someone, you'd just go...
Well, you'd feel, you know, slightly upset. It depends. It depends on who you're murdering.
True. Okay, true. We had this, the funniest was that we had, Spenny was...
What are the other two?
I'm going to get into it, but this is the reason why I love it, is because you had this interview the other day, and what Spen likes to do now is, because you had this whole image of you and Maine Chelsea that probably... I reckon there's like 50-50, right? You definitely played a character, but also half of it was slightly you in a sense. Yes, you were a playboy. Yes, you were this guy who was slightly promiscuous and all those kind of things. Were you so much of an arsehole occasionally? No, you're not. You're actually a very sweet guy, and you're actually quite insecure and shy and things like that deep down. I'm just letting all of your secrets...
I don't even know why you said that. It's just absolute nonsense.
But the funniest thing was, Spen now goes into interviews, and the interviewee will say, oh, so Spenny, go on. So your Made in Chelsea days, you were this guy. You were seen as like a dick and all this kind of stuff. Was it really real? And you will go,
no.
That's what you'll say.
But I've recently realized that I shouldn't slag off the show which gave me kind of my platform as such. And I love doing Made in Chelsea, and looking at you now, it takes me back to kind of all the amazing times that we had filming what's turned out to be an international success story show. Like, it's
thanks
very much to me. and basically, it's, you know, it was great fun for me. It changed, as all things do. You know, it started off really fresh and original, and it became a bit different for me. And I did get bored, and I started to...
I'm not a journalist.
I started to elaborate on dark areas of my character.
You're not an artist.
I'm a method actor.
You're not a method actor.
I'm a method actor.
You didn't just want to experience different parts of your psyche.
I woke up one morning and I said, you know what? The show could use a villain. I said, we'll unlikely make it to the third series unless I turn myself dark.
No, do you know what happened? One of our head producers, when that whole thing between, like, I think something happened. I can't remember what it was. And the producer said,
you probably slept with one of my girlfriends, because that actually used to happen a lot.
But one of the producers said to you, Spencer, stop doing this. You're going to look like a dick. And you went, I'm a cunt. Make me look like a cunt. That's what you
Again,
said.
In character, method acting. That's me. You know, getting carried away. I started thinking, you know, I might just go deep into it. Like, you know, like Heath Ledger's Joker. That was me. I played the character to a T. Look, the minute I've left the show, everything I've ever been on, lovely bloke. So why don't you take from that?
Okay, well, the funniest part of that is that you had this interview, and they said, and you were like, oh, all this kind of stuff. And they said, so was it real? And you went, was it real? And you went, and they went, wait, so it wasn't real? And you go, well, I don't know, it was. And you play this kind of role. And they went, so you didn't go out with those girls? And you go, yeah, I went out with them.
My point is...
And the best thing is you went, yeah, I went out with them. And they went, so you definitely cheated them. You went, well, yeah, but it's not really realism. And they went, why not? You went, because in my head, they were fictional.
Well, no, I didn't say that. No, what I mean is a lot of the relationships which I had on the show, I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for the show.
Yeah,
therefore, in my mind... It's not something that when I'm 50 years old and I look back at past relationships, they won't even feature because they weren't relationships that I would deem real in a sense.
Yeah. No, I get it. I completely get it. So hold on. So you have no remorse, right?
So very little remorse, yeah.
There we go. Number three, yeah. They're really arrogant.
Fine line between confidence and arrogant. You know, I'm very, very confident. I suppose I could be seen as a bit arrogant, but again, that's an element of my character that I like playing up to because I think it's funny.
I definitely think you are arrogant, but not in a bad... You know, there's arrogance and there's arrogant, right?
I don't mind being told that I'm wrong if I am wrong, but I'm rarely wrong.
Yeah, but you're...
That was a joke. You can't hear people laughing, I suppose.
Yeah. Why would you... Well, you thought the audience were going to laugh at that.
Yeah, well, you know, I told you, mate, I'm a method actor.
I think the audience just switched off after that comment.
Did they?
But the best thing is that you are arrogant. You are arrogant for sure. However, when you come in contact with other alpha males, you actually become a bit insular. You become a bit nervous. The prime example is when we did Hunted together. We're in a car with these, like, three quite rude boy guys.
They were hooligans, though.
And Spencer sitting... in the back, and the driver was driving. He went, oh, boys, we're doing this. So Hunted, if you haven't seen it, is basically where you go on the run from the police for 2 weeks and you try and escape them. And we were in a car thinking we were being chased by the hunters, which turns out we never were.
He was a vigilante.
And we were in the car, and the guy in the front was this alpha male. And Francis and Spencer was going a bit like sketchy and things like that because he was confronted with another alpha male. And the guy said, the guy went, whoa, boys, which way should we go? Which way should we go? And one of his mates went, let's turn right. And Spencer went, yep, righty-whitey. And then we went over a bump, and suddenly he went, oh, bumpy-wumpy. And you call out the car. They left, you went, why do I become really camp around alpha males?
Well, there we go. Again, just endless entertainment. The Hunted was fun. The only difficult thing about doing Hunted was doing it with you, to be honest. Anyway, what's the fifth and
number
final?
Number four, they take big risks.
You've said number four like
no,
loads.
No, number three was they're really arrogant.
Okay.
Number four, they take big risks.
Yeah, I love a risk.
Yeah, I think you do. But you like risks because you love skydiving. You skydive how many times?
I think I did 29 jumps in a day or something. But the best thing, the fun thing about skydiving is, and this is a true fact... I didn't really used to enjoy flying so much, and I went with my buddy Max and we did our accelerated freefall course, and nobody told me that the first jump that I will ever do will be with no one strapped to my back. And that
first one ever.
I've never ever.
That's a can't be, mate. Come on,
mate. Skydive Spain in Spain. They're absolutely the lunatics.
So wait. So how do you?
I've never done a tandem.
So how do you learn at the beginning? You're on the ground.
You learn on the ground. Yeah. You spend like half a day on the ground, like prepping for it, and then obviously you get flung out of a plane and you forget absolutely everything because you're plummeting to your feels like imminent death, and you know, all of a sudden everything that Juan taught you on the ground is like fucking bullshit. You forget everything.
Wait. So let's just get this right. So you're on the ground. And you have the parachute
on a lovely little kind of trailer thing, which obviously isn't being hurtled through the air at 120 miles an hour of terminal velocity. So
like, and they're just pull the string.
They're like, oh yeah, you put your hand in front of your face and you pull the string and stuff, and you're like, oh, this is easy. And
they're English as well.
No, that's Australian actually. Weirdly, all Aussies, mate. You got to put your hand in front of your face whilst you pull on the cord, mate. You know, you pull the cord. If you don't pull the cord, then you're going to go straight through the clouds and you're going to fucking crash your face, mate. So, lots of that. But they're like notoriously relaxed, aren't they? They're like, oh, mate, you'll be fine. Don't worry. Like, we'll throw you out of the plane. No problem. And then I was actually... in a savage rage when I landed, because obviously I struggled to find the chute.
Let's just get this. So you're on the ground. You've been taught what to pull. You've been told. Are you wearing a watch to tell you what time you should?
An altimeter, yeah.
What's an altimeter?
An altimeter is something that measures your altitude. Dumb.
So. So you're constantly looking at you. So you've been told all these things.
You're literally glued to it. So your first jump.
Are you just looking at it?
I'm so scared. Yeah, I didn't see a single thing other than the altimeter. So you like jump out and you're just absolutely bricking it, obviously. And like, yeah, the altimeter's about 3 inches from your face. And you're just waiting until you pull. You're supposed to pull around like 600 meters from the ground. And or 600 feet or whatever it is, and or 6,000 feet, sorry, so obviously. 6,000 feet you're supposed to pull, you jump out of
it. Yeah, 600 meters is quite quick.
Well, you'll die. Yeah. No, 6,000 feet you're supposed to pull, and when you get a bit better, you can pull at about 3,000 feet, sometimes even lower. I think I pulled at 7,000 feet, but I couldn't find the tog, because obviously, you know, reaching for something on your back on the ground and reaching for something on your back going terminal velocity through the air is two extremely different things, which they failed to mention.
Well, it's like if I put a plank of wood on the ground here and said walk across that,
yes,
you'd be able to do it easily. But if I put that 100 feet up in the air and said walk across it, you would have a bit of an issue.
Do it on my head. Yeah.
You would?
Yeah, standard.
You'd slide across it.
Is that arrogant? Okay, what's the fifth
Wait, no,
point?
Hang on. I just want to get back to this. So you're in the plane. The plane's going up. Yeah. And they open the door. Spencer! Spencer!
Yeah.
Spencer! Spin!
Yeah, don't worry, mate. It's fine. I've done this a million times. It's like, well, I haven't. Don't worry about it. Yeah,
so. Oh, don't worry. Just pull that string when you get off the
wire. It's all right, mate. Like, if you don't pull it within 1,500 feet, it'll pull itself. That's bollocks, isn't it? No chance. Anyway, so like, yeah, you jump out, and yeah, it was awful. Someone jumps out with you and kind of holds an arm and a leg. But obviously, like, when you do eventually find your chute and you pull, you are on your own. So if you did have a line over or a line twist or something, like on your very first jump, which let's be honest is unlikely but entirely possible, you're dealing with it on your own. And
but what happens? So what is that? So you're falling, you're looking at your optometer, whatever it's called.
Altimeter.
Altimeter. That's my superhero name. Optometer.
The Omnitrix.
No, the Optometer is my...
I don't know if you've seen my recent campaign with Cartoon Network, but I'm the face of the Omnitrix.
Sick, man.
Deluxe Omnitrix, yeah, for Ben 10.
Wait, hang on. So you're falling out, you're then watching your altimeter, and you pull the string at the 6,000 mark, whatever it is.
The cord, yeah.
And then the cord, and it goes out. What is the feeling when then it actually goes up normally in your first jump?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I completely forgot. This is actually quite funny. So they say on the ground, when you pull your chute for the first time, whatever you do, do not look straight up at it. So pull your chute, and they're like, you pull your chute, mate, and then you got to wait for 4 seconds before you look up. And I'm like, why do you have to do that? They just say, because otherwise you'll just see a flailing mess, you know, and you'll shit yourself, you know. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever. And honestly, because you've never experienced falling like that,
because it's the most unhuman thing to do, to jump towards the ground.
You're so alert, obviously, when you're doing it, and like you know, I pull the ripcord. Obviously, the very first thing you do is look straight up, and you just see this absolute trash bag kind of like flopping around in the wind. And like, you immediately just assume that you're gonna die. and all of a sudden, like, you're looking at it, and mine was going for a bit, and then all of a sudden, about, you know, 3 seconds in, it goes and it pops out, and you're literally like, I have to say, you're pretty damn delighted to see it without any issue.
Is it just, it's just failing around, that's all it's doing?
Well, because it has to catch the air, obviously. It doesn't just pop out, like, it goes up and then the air catches in it. But it's quite a big, like, especially when you're a beginner, like, the parachute's huge to give yourself, you're not going to be maneuvering and stuff, so you basically just land slowly, and it takes a little while for the air to get into it.
Hey everyone, we're going to come back with Private Parts in just 1 second, just after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whew, there we go. Now let's get back into it. So we can kind of pretty easily say that you take big risks, but underneath this bit says, this is number four, by the way, if you're a sociopath, it says, or psychopaths, it says, a psychopaths have little regard for safety, especially other people's, which I don't think is true.
No, I'd have concern for other people's safety, but I don't have much concern for my own safety. That is genuine. Like, if I could ride my motorbike without a helmet, I would.
But also, I think actually, weirdly enough, I think that's total opposite, because I know two occasions when you've actually, you're one of these strange people that sort of, not strange people at all, but probably right people, that spring to attention in terms of danger. There was one where our buddy Stevie Johnson from Main Chelsea fell off the back of Hebei. We're in a nightclub in Barcelona, and there was a curtain behind us, and he took a shot and leant backwards into the curtain, not knowing that it was a ledge. Yeah. Fell, what, 10 feet, must have been?
At least, yeah, yeah.
Onto his head. And Spencer was the first person to jump down and help him. Well, me and, as everyone else was leading him out the club and going to hospital with him, me and Mitten went, oh, we'll see you in a second, boys, and went back in to drink more.
Yeah.
And then the other,
you missed the funny bit. I kind of dove down after him, not realizing how high it was, and pretty sure I fractured my ankle. So
you jumped down from
it. Well, he disappeared into this curtain, and I opened the thing, and, you know, not to be morbid or whatever, but he was lying unconscious on the floor with a kind of little pool of blood next to his head, and I thought, well, crikey, you know, someone's got to do something. So jumped down.
It was, so you literally took the tablecloth of the table, put it around as a cape, and said, "Here I come!"
Yeah, I was like, "Don't worry, mate, I'm coming down after you." And I jumped down.
Looked at your altimeter and jumped.
Just pulled the goggles down and got into flight mode. Jumped down and pulled the cord pretty quickly, given that it was only about 3-4 meters. But yeah, did wreck my ankle. And then remember, not many people were helping us.
No one was.
So we got outside, and the hospital was only down the road, but the ambulance said it was going to take ages, and he was unconscious. So we carried him to a hospital. Well, I carried him to a hospital, didn't we?
But also, then you got kicked out by the police. Remember that video of them kicking your butt?
Well, I think the police thought that I'd done that to him, and obviously, given their lack of linguistic ability, well, mine too. I couldn't speak Spanish, and they couldn't speak English. So they thought that I'd done that to him, because they came around the corner, and I was like propping up Stevie's soon to be dead body, and I think they thought that I'd kind of violated him in some sort of way, so they beat me up, which is nice.
They came over
and punched me and beat me up, yeah, but, you know, I wasn't a ninja then. Obviously,
would you have done now? Punch them back?
Now, yeah, I'd absolutely ruin them, mate. I've been training for this Lady Garden boxing fight, which you're also in tomorrow. We'll move on to that.
But then the other one is that you did is when you were, and this is more just, this is purely just out of your own annoyance, you were in a cinema.
Oh, yes.
What happened?
I'll even remember the film in a set. Rush. We were watching Rush. Chris Hemsworth. Isn't he lovely? You know.
Oh, he's another Aussie.
Oh, mate. He's such a legend.
Bar and by.
Yeah. Tale of two absolute legends. Niki Lauda and Hunt, James Hunt, on the F1 circuit. And I was really enjoying the film, until someone very selfishly decided to have what appeared to be some sort of heart attack or something.
There's the remorse coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I was so annoyed with them. I was like, can't you just do this on your own time? Anyway, so we sat there, and this bloke's having an absolute meltdown, and his wife kind of shouts to stop the film and stuff. Very annoying. It was like at that really good bit.
How loud was it?
It pretty loud, mate, honestly. Like, it was pretty deafening. Like, she stood up and screeched, and all of a sudden they let the film carry on, but the lights came on. And then I thought, okay, quickest way to get the film back on is just to handle this myself. So went down and kind of, you know, had a look at him. Looked pretty shit, to be honest. So
did you come down and go, yeah, that's definitely a heart attack?
Yeah, I came down and I went, step aside, I'm a doctor. Didn't really do that. But I said, everyone calm down. You know, being all ag and panic and pandemonium.
You
we'll
got
get
up
you
there and went, everyone calm down. Yes, it is me, yeah. Spencer Matthews
everyone
from Maine
down,
and Chelsea.
Selfies later, form an orderly queue, relax. Okay, I'm going to handle the situation. So I said. So we called an ambulance. I ran outside, got the paramedics, brought them in, had the guy stretch it out, received a round of applause, standard. And then
for bringing the paramedics into the cinema?
I called them, as I just said, and sorted the whole thing out. Basically, never received a thank you from him for probably saving his life. But no worries, I'm sure he'll probably listen to your podcast, Jamie. He might even be American and live in Elephant and Castle, so you might even see him on the street. So basically we were there, but then we'd missed a good bit because they hadn't stopped the film, and the lights went off again, and we'd missed a good, you know, 10-minute chunk of the film, and I just stood up and said, does anyone want the film rewinding? And everyone went, yes. I went, oh God, okay, I'll do it.
So you went up into the boxer part of...
Yes, I did, yeah.
To rewind the film yourself.
No, not myself. No,
came down for more applause.
No, come on, not myself. So I went to the top and I went, excuse me.
It's amazing that you're a paramedic as well as a filmographer.
I know, mate. It's multi-talented. Anyway, so yeah, went back outside and said, come on, guys, you've missed, you know. And then I said, can you rewind the film 15 minutes? And they went, yeah, sure, and they did it, received more applause, and then, you know, sat down and we just cracked on like nothing had ever happened. Did everyone
allow you to leave first at the end? Were they like, God, there he goes, the hero?
Mate, it was a cap down, hood up moment, you know, kind of get me out of here, I hope there's not too much press, you know, all that stuff.
Okay, and then further on, under thing, they take big risks, which is still on number four, it says, they often lie, cheat, and steal to get ahead. What do you think about that? Be honest.
Yeah, I will be honest.
Not so much now, I don't think.
No, I think your priorities sort of shift when you have a child, and I'm not just using him to get out of a tricky question, but, you know, you are far more aware of dangerous things, and you are more concerned for safety, and, you know, as far as lying, cheating, and stealing goes, I'm in a kind of, not rarefied position, but a position where, you know, I earn well, I'm busy, you know, so I don't really need to do that to get ahead of people in business. So I'm very lucky is what I'm trying to say, you know, very happy with life and work and, you know, always busy, and so is Vogue. And I've married a strong, powerful woman who, you know...
Puts you in your place.
Puts me in my place, and who also doesn't, strictly speaking, in terms of, like, you know, the animal kingdom wouldn't need me. You know, she can provide for herself. So, you know, we're on a complete level par. And I think lying, cheating, and stealing can often come out of kind of desperation in order to get ahead. Or, you know, if you're behind and feel like, you know, it's not your fault, then perhaps you might lie, steal, or cheat, or steal. But in terms of where I am now... with, you know, stuff, it's unnecessary, you know. So I wouldn't say that I never lie to Vogue. Obviously, I don't think you mean cheating in terms of kind of old school cheating on exes. I obviously don't cheat on Vogue, and stealing is something that I've never really done.
No, you've never stolen. But I think, but this is, and we can get into this bit because it's me and you, and I've been in the same boat. I think the we both probably were victim of lying, because firstly we were probably insecure, and we were probably lying because we thought it would put us in a better light and things like that. But I think that is down to, do you know what I think? I think it's down to too much alcohol. That I think me and you were definitely in that stage where we overindulged ourselves. We wanted to be the center of attention and the party boy. And our USP, our unique selling point, was the fact that we could party the hardest, and we could go out, and we were going out 6-7 times a week, drinking the entire time. And, yeah, and that led to terrible things, right?
I just think that you know, the truth can often be bent a little bit if you yourself are unhappy with the way certain things are going in your life. So, you know, as you say, drinking too much or going out too much, people often feel the need to justify the fact that, oh, they only do that because we're really busy or whatever. You know, there's always some sort of excuse. So yeah, I certainly in my lifetime have bent the truth a bit, but again, you know, it's not something that plays a part in my life now. I think all kind of young people bend the truth to a degree because, you know, it's simply...
Well, you want to do it to fit in as well.
It's simply normal, yeah. You want to look cooler than you are. You want to be funnier than you are. You want to, you know, there's always an element of how can I be a better, more interesting person? And with that comes a slight distortion of the truth sometimes.
Yeah, but you know, now you're sober now. You don't drink at all. And you are. And also, I've said this to you before, but this is like the best I've ever... And you know, me and you have, you know, we've been friends for years and years and years, and really close. And I've been through the best of times with you and the worst of times with you, and likewise for me the other way around. And I feel like this at this point is the best version of yourself. You are you're kind, you're funny, you're witty, all these things, you're actually working hard, you're focusing, all this kind of, you're a dad, all that, you're a loving husband, all this kind of stuff. But what was the catalyst to stop you drinking? Because I think there's probably a lot of people out there who are drinking too much and all these kind of things. Why did you stop it?
You realise I haven't actually come out as sober yet, so so thanks, Jay. I don't particularly want to preach to people this early on. I haven't had a drink since early June, and it's just a lifestyle decision that I made. It's health based, and also I have always been a better person when I don't drink as much. Not that I was ever a terrible drunk or a horrible person, because I don't believe I was, but for me, I don't line my ducks up in order properly when I'm even slightly hazed. So for me, I'm in a position now where I have to be the head of our family with Vogue. You know, we share equal responsibility. Vogue is very responsible, very organized, very busy. And I wanted to fit in, you know. So look, before we had Theodore, around the time that we got married, I thought to myself, oh, I'll just do a month where I don't have a single drink. And stuff went so well for me. That, you know, I extended it a bit, and who knows what the future holds. I don't want to put myself in a position where, you know, if I'm ever seen 10 years down the line holding a beer, that people think I've relapsed or whatever. You know, I don't have a drinking issue. I made a life decision to not drink, and so far I'm just really enjoying it, like really enjoying it. But I don't want to be one of those people that, you know,
packs six months out
under their belt. Goes, you know, oh, I haven't had a drink for 6 months. Everybody follow me, do the same thing as me. You know, but for me, my life is just immeasurably better for the fact that I am just so, you know, clean and sober, and my mind is
so that's right. Do you think mentally, because for me, when I was drinking a lot, I drink still, but and I'm not saying that you're never not going to drink again, it's just for the moment you just did a change, but I think it was great. Do you think you feel mentally happier because of it as well?
Yeah, I mean, even at times when I was drinking quite heavily, you know, I've always considered myself to be a happy person, but I was never 100% content with my life or the direction that my life was heading. I always felt like I was fortunate to have such a loving family, but I was never truly proud of myself. And now I'm beginning to land some pretty major jobs, to, you know, make some fairly substantial money. And you know, I now look at my son and I see a bright future for him because of my own actions. And I that makes me proud of myself, because I know that I'm going to be able to provide him with an incredible life that he deserves. And everything just makes sense to me because he ultimately comes first. And for me, just focus, you know, full focus, and, you know, doing stuff for charity and working hard and you know, being the person that I can be and achieving the things that you can achieve became very important to me.
Hoorah!
Fuck yeah.
Okay, and the last one. I love that, man. Pog, I freaking love this honesty, man. Yeah. I love it. This is why I love doing shit with you. You're just the best. And number five, they're master manipulators. This is the last one.
I think, again, yeah, it used to be something I was probably more interested in. I think you definitely were
a master manipulator, for sure.
I'm not just trying to say that, look, all my behaviour on Made in Chelsea was fake or whatever, because, look, of course it wasn't. But, like, you had to manipulate certain scenes in order to create drama so that people enjoy the show.
Yeah, but forget about that. They say they don't experience genuine emotions towards others.
I'm not sure that's true. Like, I'm pretty ecstatic about my child and wife. And
yeah,
I have to say, I'm pretty blasé about most people. But, you know, like, the opinions of most people don't matter to me, I have to say. But like, the opinion of my wife and my family and, you know, a select few friends, then, you know, I'm all ears and stuff. But, yeah, I have to say, you know, we get parent shamed a bit. If people knew that Theodore, aged 10 weeks, was sitting behind me in a pram whilst I'm doing a podcast, there'd be uproar. And it's just like,
why?
Yeah, stick to your own crying, whinging mess of a kid. Yeah, and I'll do mine. How about that? My kid sleeps through the night. What does yours do?
There's the emotions towards others.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, right, Puggy. Hold on. So, do we think that you are a sociopath or psychopath?
Well, isn't a psychopath?
It just sounds
like
a bit intense. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, you know,
you've got tendencies of a sociopath.
Listen, if those things make me a sociopath, then
they do. The internet says they do.
Well, if the internet says it, then it must be true. Yeah. I personally don't. I think sociopath sounds like you're going to take an axe to someone.
I agree with you, man. Do you know what? I completely agree with you. I really, really do. I think it's a term that is kind of like slightly, you know, fuzzy. You know, it's like herpes type 1. You say that.
What? Why are you staring at me?
I'm not staring at you. You say, no, but as in if you say herpes type 1, that's cold sores on your mouth, and people go, oh my God, you got herpes. It's not, it's a term.
Well, yeah, I mean, sociopathic behaviour and having herpes is a bit different.
on that note, buddy, we need to have the question of the week from Francis. Are you ready for this? You have to answer this question. Here we go.
Go on then.
Okay, that's it from Francis. Is he in a submarine? Like, what do you think it is? What do you think the answer is?
Can you whisper it to me?
I don't fucking know the answer.
What's a flock of ravens?
You know this better than me. You're not cultured, but yeah, you know it better than me. You are a bit cultured, actually.
Thanks.
Stop looking at the computer. Stop looking at the computer. Go on, give it a guess.
Is it supposed to be a funny question?
No, it's obviously a real question.
What is a flock? A flock? It's a flock.
Is it? It can't be called a flock. Come on.
What's a flock of ravens called?
I'm going to go for ravenous.
Ravenous?
No, ravenous.
Ravenous. A flock of ravens called hell.
That's what you were going to say?
Yeah, hell.
All right, everyone. Please stick around for part two. We're going to have the answer to the question of the week.
Have you seen the birds?
Yeah. What? Alfred Hitchcock.
Are they crows or ravens? Because that's dark.
So where they come and attack you?
Yeah, flock of ravens.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
Hey, can you just tell our audience you're going to be back for part two?
Hey, guys. I may or may not be back for part two.
See you in part two. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.